Follow me. Simple words converting St. Matthew. According to Cornelius Palapide, this chapter is out of order. As we know, Christ called Andrew first, but St. Matthew didn't follow a strict chronological order in his gospel. So we should first read the chapter 10 of St. Matthew's gospel, where St. Matthew lists the apostles. He calls them and he sends them on a mission. 12 apostles is the 12 patriarchs, the sons of Jacob, the forefathers of the Jews. The apostles then are a kind of parents of all the Christians. In choosing them, Jesus also called us, his disciples. We note he called three pairs of brothers as well, Peter and Andrew, James and John, James the younger and Jude, to show the importance of brotherly love. As he left them in the Last Supper, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another." This is something we work then, all of us must work to foster in our lives as we work to live this calling of Christ, especially in this time of the church, in this time in history, without coincidence, but with divine providence governing all things, we were called to this time and not without purpose. We have a purpose of living our faith first and foremost. With these recent events of Charlie Kirk's murder, I think it's important for us to reflect upon our Catholic truths. This country is founded on certain so-called rights, which the Declaration of Independence declares inalienable, inseparable from man. But we as Catholics declare dependence upon God, subjection to him and his laws above all else. Rights come from God, but for what purpose? To what end do we have these rights from God? Never for evil. Right is a moral faculty to do some good. God could never give us a right to do evil. As we understand rights in this country, the right to free speech, as good as it is and important, it doesn't give us the moral right to say anything we want. One has free will, also a faculty of the soul, to choose the higher goodness. But we have freedom to abuse this power. We must work then understanding our situation, understanding the dangers of moral freedom and liberty. It also the gift we have, as in this country we are most free to say what we will, compared to Europe and the UK. For what then do we use this freedom? Why do we have these freedoms? If our abilities and gifts are not used for God, for what end are they used for? We have this feeling, this want, this desire to do more for the church and for Christ's mission as his disciples. Go then into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. Live your faith. This is the call of Christ to us all, here and now, in this situation, in this moment. Live your faith for God above all else. In Matthew 10, we have then our Lord sending his apostles and disciples on a mission. The kingdom of heaven is now at hand. How many people are ready to receive the faith? How many people in the world are itching for the truth, waiting for it, desiring it, ready to be converted and to move to Christ and to live for him? Now our Lord was speaking of his redemptive act of the crucifixion, opening the gates of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. For us, the world is breaking apart. We have nation being set against nation, brother against brother, family against family. The church has been usurped by imposters, wolves in sheep's clothing. So he sends them, "Freely you have received, freely give." The faith is not ours to be hoarded away, but to be lived for Christ. Lived in the sight of the world to draw all men, women, and children to Christ. This is our purpose. He sends us not without provision. "Behold, I send you as sheep among wolves." Rely upon God. This is our means of converting the world, to rely upon God and His grace, to seek His grace daily in our lives, to form a habit of seeking grace. The sheep against the wolf is pretty defenseless. By His power, wolves are overcome. Yet when we turn ourselves into wolves, we receive not the help from the divine shepherd. Be then wise as serpents and simple as doves. A serpent waits for that opportunity. We must be patient. We must be patient with the people of the world, not giving or condoning, but continuing our work in them. A serpent also sheds its own skin. We must be ready to put off our old self, our bad habits, the things that make the workings of grace through us difficult. We work on ourselves then to be that light of the world, to imitate Christ. We must also be simple as doves. Wise as serpents, yet simple as doves. And this almost spells it out by itself. But let us go further, like Saint Remigius, who said, "Simplicity without prudence is easily deceived, and wisdom is dangerous unless tempered with simplicity." We are not to be stupid, but simple in our motive, simple in our goal, gain a soul for Christ. And this is Bishop Pivirunis' unspoken motto in my mind: get to heaven myself, and take as many other souls with me along the way as I can, using all things that I can for this end. Freely you have received, freely give. What do we have that we can say is of ourselves solely? All things come through God's divine providence to be used for His good, for His end, for His purpose. Detach yourself then from life itself. This is not our home. Our home is in heaven. Our place to be is in heaven. Rights given by God were given with the purpose of all people coming to that home. Be simple but prudent and discerning. Does this person truly seek the truth? If not, we shake the dust from your feet. There are so many who truly do seek. Go to them. Use your time wisely, not to give to someone who's just goading you on, just trying to make an argument, but someone who's actually seeking to come to God, to come to Christ. St. Matthew revealed to St. Bridget an account of his conversion while she was praying at his tomb. Quote, "It was my desire at the time I was a publican to defraud no man, and I wished to find out a way by which I might abandon that employment and cleave to God alone with my whole heart. When, therefore, he who loved me, Jesus Christ, was preaching, his call was a flame of fire in my heart, and so sweet were his words unto my taste that I thought no more of riches and honors than of straws. Yea, it was delightful to me to weep for joy that my God had deigned to call one of such small account and so great a sinner as I to his grace. And as I clung to my Lord, his burning words became fixed in my heart, and day and night I fed upon them by meditation as upon sweetest food." Those that are desiring to come to Christ, that are desiring to cooperate with his grace working in them, there is the ripe fruit, ready to fall at a simple brush of the tree. Let us go to them. Let us prepare ourselves for them. Let us prepare ourselves by being a conduit of grace, being an instrument of God's grace, by building up grace in ourselves, that we can be prepared to be an instrument of grace to them. We wear red today on the feast of an apostle, as most of the apostles suffered martyrdom for the faith. Prepare yourself as a disciple of Christ to suffer all sorts of injustice for the faith, for the good of mankind, to go to God and to live with Him. Build in your heart that understanding that the kingdom of heaven which we have to gain in suffering all these things is greater than this life itself here with all of its sufferings. People are ripe for the harvest. People want the truth. We have the faith. Live your faith. They want Christ in their lives and in their heart. We have that truth. The truth shall set us free if we use it for God's purpose and for his end. For I have come to call sinners. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.